Well, Galatians 3:29 says, "And if you belong to Christ, the Messiah, then you are Abraham's descendants and heirs according to the promise." All right, so let's move on. Jacob realizes that it's time to get out of Dodge. God intervenes and to tell him that it's time to go, but after being told by God to leave, there's a practical matter of making sure his wives are willing to go. Genesis 31, 3-18. "Then the Lord said to Jacob, 'Return to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you.' So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to his flock in the field, and he said to them, 'I see your father's attitude, and it's not friendly towards me as formerly, but the God of my father has been with me. You know that I have served your father with all of my strength. Yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. However, God did not allow him to hurt me. If he spoke thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flock brought forth speckled. And if he spoke thus, the striped shall be your wages, then all the flock brought forth striped. Thus God has taken away your father's livestock and given them to me. And it came about at the time when the flock were mating that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the male goats which were mating, striped, speckled, and mottled. Then the angel of God said to me in a dream, 'Jacob,' and I said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Lift up your eyes now and see all the male goats which are mating, are striped, speckled, and mottled, for I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, where you made a vow to me.'" Remember what the vow was? "To bring a tithe. Now arise, leave this land, and return to the land of your birth." And Rachel and Leah said to him, "Do we still have any portion or inheritance in our father's house? Are we not reckoned by him as foreigners? For he has sold us and has also entirely consumed our purchase price. Surely all the wealth which God has taken away from our father belongs to us and our children. Now then, do whatever God has said to you." Then Jacob arose and put his children and his wives upon camels, and he drove all of his livestock and all of his property which he had gathered, his acquired livestock, which he had gathered in Padan Aram, to the land of Canaan, to his father Isaac. Verse 4, he says that the Jacob sent for. There's just a little fun tradition here. Obviously, he sends somebody, a messenger, to go get him. And the tradition is that he sends his son Naphtali, or Naphtali. And the reason I think that's an interesting tradition is because later, Naphtali, there's a tradition that when the sons of Israel are in Egypt and they discover that Joseph is not dead, they have to dispatch somebody to go back to Canaan to tell Jacob Joseph is alive. And the tradition is that Naphtali literally runs all the way from Egypt back to the Holy Land. And the thing that I think is really cool about that is when Jesus comes along and he selects his disciples. Now, I'm not saying the disciples were from the tribe of Naphtali, but the area in which they lived, the majority of the area in which they lived and Jesus ministered, was in fact the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. And isn't it interesting that if they were from that tribal area, that it is men from Naphtali who are the first to stand in Jerusalem and declare, "Jesus is not dead. He's alive." I just think that's a cool tradition. Verses 5 through 9, Jacob basically lays out Laban's treachery. He keeps changing the wages. As soon as he realizes, "Oh my gosh, I said you could have all the speckled ones. Now they're all producing speckled ones. So okay, let's change that. If it's spotted, then you can have the spotted." You see the treachery? Laban has been using this guy for 20 years. And he just continues to do it. The daughter's response is, "Look, we're ready to go." Because not only has he taken the purchase price, our dowry, which has been given to him, he's wasted everything that's been given to him, which means if they stay there, they realize they're not going to have an inheritance in him, because even the wealth that he's been being blessed with, he's squandering. And they realize what Jacob has said, the wealth belongs to Jacob. Well, so verse 19, let me see, verses 10 through 13, God tells him in a vision to go ahead and go back to his house, and notice that he mentions the vow that Jacob had made with him at Bethel. Now jump down to verse 19. "When Laban had gone to shear his flock, then Rachel stole the household idols that were her father's." Why? Why, Rachel? Why would you do this? I have no idea. Two answers of possibility. One, they were items of wealth. We've just heard them complaining that dad has squandered everything, and so it may be that Rachel says, "You know what? I'm going to get my due. These are probably deities, household idols that were made of silver or gold," and she snatches them and she runs. I really don't think that that's the real reason. The second reason or possibility is to deprive Laban of their use. And there's two possible areas that she wants to deprive him. One is that she wants him to stop the pagan worship. So she's basically stealing his gods in some sort of hope that Laban will change his ways. That's a possibility. I lean towards the second one, which is this. She wants to deprive him of his ability to use them in occult divination. Because these household gods were the type of deities that were used as oracle devices. Meaning, when Jacob says, I have learned by divination, he has to use some sort of magic art thing. And there's a possibility that these household gods were the things that he used. Notice verse 20, and Jacob deceived Laban the Aramean by not telling him that he was fleeing. The sages say that phrase, Laban the Aramean, is just another way of saying Laban the sorcerer. Because Laban the Aramean was a term, was almost a title given to him that everybody in the area knew. He's the occult guy. He's the sorcerer guy. I think it's also interesting that we're beginning to get parallels into what's going to happen in Egypt. Remember when Israel leaves Egypt? What do the people in Egypt do? They basically bring all their items out of their house. Gold and silver items. Now, this is a pagan land. What are the odds that some of the items that they bring out to give them are little golden and silver household deities? In fact, years later, there's a tradition that the Egyptians go to Alexander the Great and they say, look, make the Jewish people give back our money. They stole all the wealth of Egypt, and Egypt has never recovered. To this very day, they've never recovered, you know, from where they were. And so a rabbi had gone to speak in defense of the Jews, and the other people, the Egyptians, were saying, look, it says right there in their Torah that they took all our stuff. And the rabbi stands up and says, okay, you're right, we'll be glad to give it all back. Just right after you figure up what 400 years wage for us actually is. Because you enslaved us for 400 years and you didn't pay us, so you figure it up and we'll divvy up. Alexander looks at the other guy and says, I don't think you got anything left to say, do you? And he takes off. Now, we're seeing a little bit of this in that the wicked are going to be the source of blessing for the righteous. I think that Rachel understands what her dad can and cannot do, and it's going to come up here in just a minute. And I think she's attempting to thwart his ability to do harm to them.